from KQED.
Later today, regulators in Sacramento are likely to cast a landmark vote approving the nation's most ambitious system for carbon trading, known as cap and trade. It's part of California's ambitious effort to cut greenhouse gas emissions to 1990 levels by 2020. Craig Miller of our Climate Watch project has a preview of the plan and how it would work.
One day after the midterm congressional elections, President Obama was talking about cap and trade in the past tense.
Cap and trade was just one way of skinning the cat. It was not the only way. It was a means, not an end. And I'm going to be looking for other means to address this problem.
But while Washington is looking for other means to reduce the carbon emissions that cause global warming, California is forging ahead with cap and trade. By day's end, the state will likely have the nation's first system that covers more than electric utilities. Starting in early 2012, the program covers major emitters of greenhouse gases. That's anything that puts out more than 25,000 tons of CO2 per year. We're talking power plants and heavy industry, including oil refineries like this one in Benicia, where carbon emissions are measured in the millions of metric tons per year. Then in 2015, the program will expand and follow these oil and gas products downstream. That means producers will have to track and eventually pay for not just the emissions from drilling and refining, but for the carbon produced when the fuel actually gets burned in trains, planes, and automobiles. I say eventually because the pay-to-play part doesn't really kick in right away. At first, the state will give away 90% of emissions permits. That'll help ease the transition for industry and, in theory, keep companies from fleeing California. Economists have their own special euphemism for that.
Leakage.
That's Richard Morgenstern, an economist with the Washington think tank Resources for the Future. Some have predicted that with cap and trade in place, leakage would become a torrent, costing California hundreds of thousands of jobs.
No, not hardly.
Morgenstern has studied the matter, done a lot of number crunching, and
the way I've modeled it, business is going to pass on some of the cost to consumers, and they're going to innovate, and they're going to introduce new equipment and new processes, and the impact on the society is going to be quite limited.
But it will mean, eventually, billions of dollars in permit revenues. Estimates are at least $7 billion a year, maybe double that. And what we still won't know exactly, even after today's vote, is what the state will do with all that money.
It matters quite a lot, and we have lots of good ideas about how to spend it.
Jamie Fine is an economist and policy analyst with the Environmental Defense Fund in Sacramento.
There will be some auctioning, and by 2015, more than half of the allowances will be sold through auction.
So the state could return some of that money to households and businesses through income tax credits, or help customers with utility bills or pay for energy efficiency upgrades. Ultimately, that'll be up to lawmakers. Which brings us back to Washington, where national climate policy has stalled. From his vantage point there, economist Morgenstern says the world is watching California, and for the most part, nodding approval.
They're saying that California has adopted a basically sensible policy, and California has a good record of experimenting in the environmental field, and I fully expect that this will be a successful experiment.
And while carbon trading has been the subject of both hope and derision, it may be getting more than its share of attention. It's just one component of California's climate strategy under AB 32. The state is hoping to get about 20% of its greenhouse gas reductions through cap and trade. For the California Report, I'm Craig Miller.
There's more about California's decision to forge ahead with cap and trade at californiareport.org/climatewatch.